War Scrolls Temple Dedication Series. Okay, beloved, this is a series of scriptures and definitions that will help you dedicate your temple to the Lord or rededicate it. It is a prophetic set in which this time, December 2014, in which Hanukkah lines up with Christmas. It's a second Sukkot. The first one was actually the Lord's birthday was over Sukkot in the fall. But the Temple of Dedication under the Maccabees, it was a second Sukkot. You are the temple, those of you who received Jesus as your Savior. And we go through periods of consecrations and dedications where the Lord cleans us out because the world has come in. Now, this is as in when Jesus washes the disciples' feet and he says, you're already clean, but I need to wash your feet. We get dirty going about the daily affairs of the world. The world's dirt comes on us. But there are others who may hear this or who really need to hear this who are in the pagan system of Christianity. Call it apostianity. And this is in which the Roman Catholic Church has, under Constantine, incorporated paganism into its belief system for political control. Hence, the season of Christmas, the actual December 24th, is the pagan sun god worship birthday. And Constantine just wanted us all to get together under the Roman Catholic umbrella so that he would have political world control. A rerun of what is essentially happening now with the Vatican. The Protestant movement was a separation of politics and state, meaning political control by a religious instrument over the individual life. And hence, the Maccabees under Antiochus Epiphanes also had the temple taken over and the Greek god Zeus, which is the counterpart of Satan in the flesh, and worshiped to swine. But he also forbid the circumcision, which is the mark of the Jew, the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. He forbid the Sabbath under pain of death and the keeping of the Jewish instructions according to the Torah to them. Therefore, this is a type of coming out of an Antichrist system, the deprogramming process. Now, the first one of this in this temple dedication or rededication or reconsecration, however, series will be titled The Night Light. Night Light. And this is from the gross darkness that we're living in over the world now. Not only is it for the Northern Hemisphere, the longest day is in a couple of days on the 21st of December, but it's also gross darkness has been covering the earth because Satan knows his time is short and he's pulling out all the stops through the veil and the webs of deception and lies and seduction to snare people and to drag them into his lying net and to hell and to the bottomless pit where he's destined. Therefore, we are here to shine the light, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and beg you to come out of the deception, the web of deception, and come into the light of Jesus, his eternal truth. As in Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, who? Upon his people. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Let's look in 1 John chapter 1. regarding Yeshua, he was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Arise and shine, for the light has come upon you. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That is a poor rendition of this word here, comprehend. Comprehend means, and I like some other versions that I've seen, the darkness did not overtake it, seize it, possess it, put it out. The darkness cannot overtake the light. The darkness will never overtake the light. The light shines in the darkness and exposes those things which are in the darkness, which is what we do now. We expose the dark things, bring it to light, and cleanse what is in darkness. In Isaiah 9, this idea is affirmed again. Isaiah 9, 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as was in her vexation when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, that's up by the Galilee, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. Well, who is this? Goes on to say, for you have multiplied the nation and not increased the joy before you according to the joy in harvest, as a man rejoices when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. This is a cryptic prophecy concerning deliverance, that the light, that Yeshua, when he came, he breaks off the darkness and those who are the dark oppressors. And it is a war. There is a conflict going on here. And we are the spoils. And we rejoice in that day. He divides the spoil, us, because we are the Lord's spoil. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And who is this? The light. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And this was the messianic prophecy, the prophecy of Yeshua and his coming and the battle that he took place to spoil the darkness and the oppressors and the wicked ones, and with blood and burning and fuel of fire. He went through a baptism of fire and blood, Jesus did, in order to bring deliverance for us in darkness, sitting in the shadow of sin and under bondage to the wicked oppressors. All right, let's look at another scripture here to confirm this in Matthew 4. 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came to dwell in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is the message even now. The light comes and says, repent. Come out of the shadows of darkness and sin and come into the light for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come. The light has arisen. Now, let me just say right here that the church was birthed in Galilee, not in Jerusalem. Not in Jerusalem, in Galilee. Jesus dwelt in Capernaum. He later condemned Capernaum for their unbelief. Let's look at the light issue again. In Matthew 6:19, it says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where are your treasures? That's where your heart is going to be. Treasures upon earth, moth and rust that corrupt, thieves can break and steal. All right, that's where your heart is. It's in moth and rust and corruption and through thieving and stealing. I mean, this is where your heart is if you lay up for yourself treasures upon earth. And this is what will be in your heart, whether you realize it or not. Now, God can bless you. Poverty is not a blessing. But the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word of God. And it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. But with God, nothing is impossible. So your wealth, your treasures, if they're worldly, that's what your deception will be in your heart and darkness and corruption, because that's what you put your eye on. And you're not focusing on what is eternal. All right, for the light of the body is the eye, Matthew 6:22. And if your eye is single, the whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? What does that mean? If you think that because you have these corrupted treasures on earth, and that is God's blessing, and that's where your heart is, that revelation, that light, is darkness. You're in great darkness. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Luke 2:32. Jesus is a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of your people, Israel. Now, this is the message that we heard of him, who Jesus, in 1 John 1:5. And we declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What does this mean? This means if we walk in the light, people, they look at our words, but our body language is 80% of our communication. How we live and conduct our lives shows our values and what we treasure. Okay, not what we say. Oh, all this means nothing. I'm living in my upper middle class palatial, a little mansion with my land and my estates, and I've got it all. And you're blind, wretched, poor, naked, and sin. You're full of sin. Your eye is full of, what your own accomplishments and accolades and the approval of the world and popularity. You are walking in darkness. You lie. You do not do the truth. You are walking. The outward evidence is where you're valued. And then we have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, you need to come into repentance. The time is late. The hour is late. This is the second sukkah. God has given you a second chance to cleanse your altar, your internal heart, and look at where your treasures are. And the blood of Jesus, then we'll have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But some people don't want to listen. Some people don't want to hear. You know, Jesus said he spoke in parables to his disciples because he said they have, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Lest they turn and repent and be healed. But to you have been made known the mysteries of the kingdom if you hear. Let's look at this parable in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." Now, let's just dissect this a little bit. The kingdom of heaven has 10 virgins in them, and they had lamps. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. So they entered into this relationship. This pure, holy relationship. They were virgins spiritually, and they had lamps, light, to light their way. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Okay? They adhered to that. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They took no oil. In the Feast of Hanukkah and the dedication of the altar, it was about lamp oil in the lampstands to lighten the inward part of the temple, the inward man, the altar, the inward affections, that they would be walking in the light of truth and in the light of Jesus Yeshua. And not in the darkness of their own understanding without the word of God. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." They took these lamps, the word, to show where they were going. But the wise, now these were the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the foolish did not. They could not see. They were in the church, in the kingdom, but they were watching for the bridegroom, but they could not see. And the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. At midnight, the very darkest time, you need to have that night. "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him." The virgins, the pure church, the, you know, unsullied church, went out to meet the bridegroom. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Wait, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And the wise said, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But you go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." What does this mean? You rather go to those you had. It cost. It cost to have lamp oil. It cost to understand and spend time, spend to buy the instruction and the word of God for yourself. Not you can't have my relationship. And I was on a trip in the fields, and the power of God had moved after I had preached, and the love of God just poured out. And there was a woman with me, and after we went back to our little room, and she wanted me to pray for her that she could have that anointing. She never felt so much love in her life. And the Holy Spirit told me, she cannot have your relationship. She cannot have what you have. She has to go and cultivate it by spend time in the secret place, in that relational, intimate place, and in the Word of God, that she might be instructed and know the way to go. You cannot give her that. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered them, said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You've gone your own way. You've done your own thing. You've had your own version of Christianity. You haven't had the light. Thy word is a lamp and a light unto my feet. Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Don't get caught up with the things of this world. And else the word, the seed of God's word, be choked out from you. And this is the nightlight. You must have your relationship with God established to carry you through this darkness. You must have light for the night.